8. Fragments. Crater lakes everywhere. Lakes of Promethium. Some are violently ablaze, lagoons of fire that fog every crease of the air with soot. Other lakes, lakes of coolant, chemicals, or stagnant water from transected cisterns, are filmed with rainbow slicks of fuel. And where that burns, it burns softly and almost invisibly. Transparent skins of colourless flame that make an insect flutter. Some pools are lurid pink from copper swill. Some pools are viridian from cyanide. In the lee of the Sanctus wall, Sojuk of the White Scars rallies the rearguard. Other White Scars, Praetorian fists, some blood angels, stir to obey him. Sojuk is bone-weary and drained by grief. Mere hours ago, he brought the body of his fallen Kargan to its rest and thought he would kneel in mourning beside the bier for the remainder of his life. But great walls toppled, and the sanctuary to which he had delivered the great Kargan's corpse was no longer safe, and war came ever closer. So Sojuk rose, with only a wordless nod to his grieving mistress, Ilya Revalion, and went back out to rejoin the field, which had raced in to find him. Eternity Gate is now closed. There will be no further opportunity to retreat. He is doomed to stay in the field and do what he can. Morten Lintz, the fine captain and bloodson of Dawn, commanding this portion of the rearguard line, has fallen. Skull destroyed by heavy bolter fire. Sojuk is ranked Khan. The senior man present, now Lintz is gone. The line is his now. This thin, diluted line drawn up before the churning hosts of Death Guard units. He shrugs off thoughts of grief like a fur pelt at the start of step summer, and feels in the same instant the sharp focus of Yarak, the hunting hawk's yearning to slip and kill. On the plains, they would feed the hawks scraps to keep them strong, but only scraps, so that their appetites stayed as sharp as their talons. This is his open plain. He is the hawk. He tenses to fly and calls so that the others will fly with him. A stiffened corpse, held upright by mud, grins forever and points at nothing with a rigor-raised arm. Crowds flee, wailing multitudes. They choke the streets, stumbling blind, asphyxiating in the dust, calling out and ringing handbells to be heard or seen by others, for to be alone is to be lost. They flee along once proud streets, beneath the blood-writ words, "The Emperor must die," and the obscene symbols of chaos and heresy. They flee to nowhere. The bunkers and shelters prepared by Dawn are already filled to capacity. The broken city is trying to shield its citizens, but the survivors of Magnificans fled into Anteria, and then fled again alongside the survivors of Anteria into the Palatine Zone when Anteria burned. There is no longer room to shelter the millions who hoped the final fortress would protect them. The bunkers are full. And according to military order and tactical necessity, all access points to the sanctum's vast subterranean levels are sealed at the surface. Trapped in the streets, the crowds flee to nowhere. Mortality salience racks them to the core. They see the words upon the walls, "The Emperor must die," and they know without doubt that they must die with him. Nowhere is safe. No one is safe. Nothing is untouched. Debris rains from murdered buildings, killing those fleeing or sheltering in the streets. Glass falls like blades. There are squalls of blood rain, of pyrochemical sleet, of ash snow. Nothing seems breathable anymore. A gasp inhales smoke, dust, microparticles of rock and grit that grate the lungs. Bacterial vapours, weaponized chemicals, toxic bio-waste. Throats close, gums bleed, Tongues rot. Tears track cheeks red from burst blood vessels. Eyes are sanded raw, and lungs curdle with froth. On the Via Aquila, someone is calling her name. There's always someone calling her name, even when there's no one there.